House Subcommittee considering a bill to give health and other benefits to same-sex partners or domestic partners, to be more accurate, of federal workers. That measure sets up a conflict between two groups representing those with some strongly held views on the subject. Our own Max Kakis joining us now live with a preview of his story for Monday's Federal Drive.
Amy and Chris, this isn't the first time that proposals have been raised to offer health and other benefits to partners of feds who are in domestic partnership relationships. But because more Democrats are now in both houses of Congress and President Obama has expressed support for the idea, favored by most federal labor unions, House Bill 2517 is expected to gain more traction in the 111th Congress.
Mr. Chairman, I appear before you today both as the lead author of this legislation, but also as a lesbian federal employee who has been in a committed relationship with my partner, Lauren, for over 13 years.
Representative Tammy Baldwin, a six-term Democrat from Wisconsin, is the first non-incumbent openly gay person to serve in Congress. As the author of the Domestic Partnership Benefits and Obligations Act of 2009, Baldwin came to the House Federal Workforce Subcommittee, one that she normally doesn't do business with, to lobby from a very personal point of view for her bill.
Last month, as you mentioned in your opening statement, Mr. Chairman, President Obama signed a presidential memorandum on federal benefits and non-discrimination, which directs the Office of Personnel Management and the State Department to extend certain benefits to the same-sex partners of federal employees within the confines of existing federal law. Although the memorandum is an important step in providing same-sex partners of federal employees with benefits already available to spouses of heterosexual employees, it falls short of providing the full range of benefits. President Obama recognized and acknowledged that fact when he signed the memorandum, calling it just a start. He went on to say that, as Americans, we are all affected when our promises of equality go unfulfilled. President Obama recognized that full extension of benefits will require an act of Congress and proclaimed his strong support for the legislation that you are reviewing today.
Marriage by another name is of concern to me, and I think the majority of Americans. At the same time, I want to be respectful of individuals and their rights to choose.
Utah Representative Jason Chaffetz is the ranking Republican on the panel and the only member so far who has voiced opposition to H.R. 2517. Under questioning, Mr. Chaffetz expressed one of his concerns about Ms. Baldwin's bill.
As I read this bill, doesn't it discriminate in terms by giving same-sex couples greater federal benefits than opposite-sex couples who may not be married?
The option exists for opposite-sex couples to marry in every state of the union, and so it is easily cured if they want to seek those benefits for them to enter the institution of marriage. Aside from the states that the chairman mentioned, that opportunity does not exist in all states for same-sex partners. And to the extent that it does exist in any states, the Defense of Marriage Act, which is currently embodied in federal law, would prohibit the federal government from recognizing those marriages in those states that do recognize it. So in other words, we have to come up with another mechanism in order to offer fringe employment benefits, this is what we're talking about in this bill, to the same-sex partners of federal employees.
But John Berry, the director of the Office of Personnel Management, says H.R. 2517 gives him the tools he needs to hire from the widest pool of qualified workers for jobs he has trouble filling right now.
In each of these areas, we are attempting to get out there with sharp elbows and compete with private sector, university settings, state governments, local governments, so that we can provide critical services. You know, veterinarians at the Food and Drug Administration right now, we do not have enough to do the food safety management that we need to supply for the country. These are tough challenges we face as the employer for the country, and this will be just one extra tool that's going to allow us for, I'm not saying it's going to solve that problem entirely, but for the same-sex partner, the person who has a partner who is now working for Archer Daniel Midland's and has domestic partner benefits and who is a veterinarian, I am no way going to have that person be able to say they're going to move, relocate, and lose the health insurance for their partner.
But the only witness speaking in opposition to the bill, Dr. Frank Page, the 2006 president of the Southern Baptist Convention, says he's troubled by the intent of this bill.
This is not a matter about recruitment. This is a matter about a social agenda.
He says it's a matter of recruitment, sir. Can you address that?
I simply disagree with that. As an employer, I do understand the need to attract the very best and brightest. I was personally offended that he kept saying that we need to get the best and brightest. That is casting aspersions upon all heterosexual employees by saying they're not the best and brightest. So we need to make this law and act a law so that we can attract the best and brightest. I think there may be some instances where there are potential employees who could be brought in if the law was changed. But again, I am saying that the biggest issue here is the government supporting the institution of marriage rather than changing it to attract maybe a few additional possible employees.
And before we move on, I want to say that our coverage of this story today was co-produced by our intern, Melinda Zosh.
There you go. And nice job, Melinda.
Just for clarification's sake, that there is a difference between same-sex partners and domestic partners.
Right.
There is a difference.
There is a difference. And the difference, I guess the best way to explain the difference is that domestic partners is sort of posits or presupposes a real personal relationship between the two people, because one of the concerns that they had in the bill, Congressman Chaffetz, the ranking member of the Federal Workforce Subcommittee, said it kind of opens the door to fraud, to possible fraud, because if you don't define it properly and if you don't define it carefully,
it could be roomies.
It could be roomies. It could be, for example, he talked about the case of a relative who, in her later years, worked or lived with another woman in the house, a friend, and because she was getting older and needed somebody around the house with her. And if you don't, he said, if you're not very careful with the way that you create the definitions in this bill, then it could be anybody, you know, two people of the same sex could get together and claim benefits.
Well, it doesn't even have to be same sex.
The
way that I think most people define all same sex couples are domestic partners, but not all domestic partners are necessarily same sex couples.
There you go. Exactly. Thanks for the clarification.
There are a lot of people. Some people choose not to be married, it becomes a little bit.
But
different situation.
Who winds up footing the bill for this? The question being, if we're talking about benefits and we're talking about like insurance and health care and stuff, wouldn't I be the one paying the premium anyway?
Well, the Director Barry, John Barry, was asked about that by his estimation, and I guess he also testified that he had gotten this number from the Congressional Budget Office. The benefits would come from an agency's allocation or its appropriation for personnel costs already, and they don't see them. They don't see that many workers additional to what are already there for what they're calling heterosexual couples. They're saying that the budget impact wouldn't be as great because
there would be some budget impact, but it wouldn't be astronomical.
It wouldn't be astronomical, and at the same time, he balances it against the fact that this will give him more flexibility in terms of the pool of applicants that he can have for a given job.
I think one of the things that I read was it actually, remember early on this week we talked to the folk about raising the level of kids who can be on your health insurance.
Right, the age from 22 to 25, and that it's not going to cost anything.
Doesn't end up costing anything.
Because mom and dad are paying the premiums anyway.
So what, I mean, on health insurance, it means that probably you have to pay for a two-people plan rather than a one-person plan. The feds don't contribute to that second.
No, it's what you do out of your own pocket.
Right.
So that's what I don't understand is what difference does it make?
Yeah.
Anyway, Max, more Monday?
More Monday on the Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Jane Norris, and of course on federalnewsradio.com.